And our vision of what we want for South Africa and what we want for South Africa-China relationship. And so without further ado, I'd like each and everyone to introduce himself. I'll start first with the members of the portfolio committee. As the secretary of the committee has said, I'm Becky Khatebe, the whip of this committee. When the chairperson is absent, I'm the one who then takes charge of the committee. So on my left-hand side, I'll allow each and everyone to introduce himself or herself and then give us a brief biograph about yourself. Who are you? Who are you, Bob?
My name is Luis Ompumlo. My name is Luis Ompumlo. I'm a member of this committee. Who am I? I don't know what to say about myself. I'm a member of the African National Congress. I've been in deliberation for it. That's why I can say ni hao.
My name is Dineo Maputi from the African National Congress, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tandwe Kenye, member of this committee from the African National Congress. Thank you.
Good morning. My name, I have many names. My initials are MSA, but I prefer to be called Stan Maila. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am a member of this committee, a member of the African National Congress. I come from the province of Limpopo, which is in the north of the country. Thank you very much.
Morning, I'm the only one who does not come from the African National Congress. I come from EFF. My name is Lengiwe Hlophe.
All right, thanks a lot, the members of this committee. Dineo, please introduce yourself so that we can give the delegation.
Good morning, honorable members and our visitors. My name is Dineo Musala. I am the content advisor to the committee.
Good morning, honorable members and our visitors. My name is Lubabalo Sikwe, and I'm the secretary to the committee.
All right. Thank you, honorable members. I'll now give to the leader of the delegation to introduce his entourage.
So, good morning, your honorable acting chairperson and your honorables. My name is Tiger and I'm the head of this delegation. I'm a counselor from the Department of the Foreign Ministry.
我请女士们先生们，请允许我介绍一下我们中国驻开普敦总领馆的戴总理事李立贝先生，然后呢，我再介绍一下我们代表团的有关情况。
Ladies and gentlemen, please allow me to recognize the acting Consul General of the Consulate General of the People's Republic of China to Cape Town, Madam Li.
我们中国青年外交官访非团，这是访问非洲的第一个青年外交官的。 party.
Actually, this is the first delegation of young Chinese diplomats to African continent.
这是因为我们要落实去年年底在贵国举行的中欧论坛的峰会的成果，人文交流的成果。
Our visit is actually an example of the implementation of the people-to-people exchanges program under the program adopted at the Johannesburg Summit held last year.
所以呢，我们组成了这么一个中国青年外交官访会团，它目的呢，就是为了让更多的中国青年，就是特别是青年的外交官，能够了解非洲，关注中非合作，能够呢让更多的青年外交官，投身到对非的友好合作的事业中。
We organized this delegation because we want to encourage more people to have a better understanding of the African continent.To pull their attention on China-Africa cooperation and also to encourage more people to devote themselves to this cooperation.
所以呢，我们在外交部十七个市局里面，十七个市局以及其他的三个部委里面，挑选了一共是二十二名优秀的青年外交官代表，组成了这个代表团。
So we selected 22 young Chinese diplomats.Who are all elite members among their peers from 17 departments from the Foreign Ministry and other three ministries.
This 代表团的成员呢，大部分呢没有到过非洲。
For many of us, this is our first visit to African continent.
所以呢，这一趟呢，对我们来说是一个对非洲的探索之旅。我们希望那个了解非洲之后，而且通过这个代表团成员，能够把他们在非洲看到的有关中非友好、中非友好合作的有关情况，介绍到中国，介绍到中国年轻人当中去。
We call it a trip of discovery, and through this visit, we want to tell a story, a better story of China-African cooperation, and convey the message back to China.
我们这代表团是九月二号踏上非洲大陆的。我们访问第一个国家是埃塞俄比亚，然后呢，第二站到了咱们贵国美丽的南非。
We landed on the African continent on September the 2nd, and our first stop is Ethiopia, and our second stop is here, South Africa.
11
November the 2nd, sorry.
Our young colleague is a little bit excited.
What's your part of the funny channel?
So, 不是，通过到南，今天是我们在访问非洲的最后一天，而且是和咱们议会外委会会见的最后一项关这次的官方活动内容。
This is our last day of the visit, and this event is also our last event during the trip.
我们感到非常的高兴，感到非常的荣幸。南非议会有这么多议员能够今天来和我们年轻的外交官进行来接见我们年轻外交官和我们进行交流，这也充分表明了中南关系的友好，以及各位女士们、议员女士、议员先生。对中南关系友好关系的重视。
We are quite honored and happy to be here to meet with you as young Chinese diplomats, and we believe that this is a testament of the friendship between Chinese and the South Africans, and also it shows how the great importance you've attached to China-South African relations.
所以我们年轻的外交官呢，非常愿意了解就是中非关系以及中南关系的。有关情况，特别是约翰内斯堡峰会之后，中非关系、中南关系，对中非关系、中南关系，南方有何期待
？The young Chinese diplomats are very interested in China-African relations, especially China-South African relations, and they would like to know your expectations or your observations on China-South African relations in the post-summit era.
这就是我们这个青年外交官访非团的有关背景情况。 我就为了由于时间关系吧，我就不一一介绍我们代表团的成员了。待会在交流过程中呢，他们又会有很多的问题向各位请教，会自我做自我介绍。
Let's a brief introduction of our delegation, because time is limited, so I'm not going to introduce our members member by member, but they are going to ask you questions, and during that time, they will introduce themselves.
谢谢。
Thank you.
Thank you for the succinct remarks that you have passed and then introducing your delegation.We also, as South Africa, we really appreciate your visit as the young diplomats of China.
首先谢谢您的介绍，我们也非常欢迎各位来访。
Because there's one thing which we know, that the future belongs to the youth. So it is very important that the youth must learn the history of his country, where it comes from.
我们认为青年是未来的希望，所以我们认为青年必须要了解国家的历史。
So what is very important is that the relationship between South Africa and China is a very long-standing relationship. It started as far back as 1953 when Dr. Walter Sisulu, who was the Secretary General of the ANC, visited China to request support from the Communist Part of China.
中南的这个交往呢，其实是历史非常悠久的。早在1953年的时候，我们南非的一个这个代表团就到过中国，当时向中国寻求支持。
That's why South Africa always appreciated the support which China provided for the liberation movements of South Africa.
而我们呢，也感谢中国在我们的这个斗争中所给予的支持。
This history must be shared between the youth of both countries.
我觉得两国的青年都不需要有了解这段历史。
When South Africa was liberated in
1994, 南非呢在1994年得到了这个解放。
They found the first democratic president of the republic, Nelson Mandela. The first democratic. The first democratic elected president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, decided in 1998 that.South Africa is going to observe the One China policy.
在1998年，我们的这个民主选区的总统第一位纳尔逊曼德拉就承诺要遵守一个中国的这个原则。
That's where the formal relationship between our governments was strengthened, so that it could move from political, social, and economic.
我们两国的这种高层交流，使得我们在政治、经济、社会等方面都取得了一系列的发展。
As Parliament, we also appreciate the comprehensive strategic partnership between our governments.
作为我们的议会的议员，我们也支持和赞赏政府之间达成的这种全面战略伙伴关系。
Because through that partnership, we can be able to approach the challenges of the world together with a single pair of glasses.
因为这样的这种伙伴关系，能够让我们团结起来应对世界面临的各项挑战。
Because it does not mean that when we have defeated the imperialists and colonists, it does not mean that the war is over. The war is now at the economic front internationally.
我们虽然已经战胜了帝国主义和殖民主义，但是我们的斗争还没有结束。现在我们应该在这个经济的这个领域，在全球进行合作。
That's why the formations like the Group of 77 plus China are very important.When coming to negotiating issues in the world forum like the United Nations.
所以我认为在这个国际场合，比如说像在联合国组成这个77国集团加中国的这种架构是非常重要的。
And what is also very important is that this comprehensive strategic partnership between South Africa and China did bear the fruit through the FOCAC process, that is the Forum for China-Africa Cooperation.
另外呢，我们也看到在这个中非合作论坛上，我们的这种全面战略伙伴关系也发挥了非常重要的作用。
Through such fora, China was able to make a lot of investment into the African continent, in particular when coming to the issues of infrastructure, education, and technology.
尤其重要的是，中国通过这个中非合作论坛在非洲进行了大量的投资，特别是在基础设施建设、教育以及科技领域。
But that history will be lost if the young people don't interact with one another so that they understand what each country has in store for them.
我认为年轻人特别有必要的了解这些经历和这些情况。
We are really welcome to this country because, as I said, that we share a very long history, of which it was written when the times were difficult. Now, when the times are better, we must really work and strengthen that relationship.
我们非常欢迎各位的到来，因为在这个国家困难的时候，我们并肩作战。现在情况好转，我们更是应该团结合作。
We always appreciate the former president of China, Comrade Xu Jintao, who invited South Africa during the BRICS summit in Beijing, where South Africa was invited into the BRICS of countries.
我们也特别赞赏在北京举行的这个金砖峰会的时候，胡锦涛主席邀请南非加入了这个金砖国家。
It was not only a talk shop that the outcomes of this participation in BRICS has seen a lot of development in the form of the new development bank for the BRICS countries.
金砖国家集团不是一个只做不做的团体，我们取得了一切的成果，特别是新成立的这个金砖开发银行。
We also appreciate that China has invited South Africa to be a founding member for the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank.
我们也赞赏中国邀请南非成为这个亚洲基础设施投资银行的这个创始成员国之一。
Because such institutions will go a long way in fighting poverty and unemployment, which is rife in Africa.
我相信这些机构对于改善就业情况非常的重要，而贫困和失业是这个非洲面临的重要问题之一。
We also appreciate the credit lines which we agreed upon in FOCAC last year, in the Forum for Africa-China Cooperation. The credit lines for the African countries and the support of China for peacekeeping missions in Africa.
在去年的这个中非合作论坛上，中国为我们提供了新的一个贷款额度，并且为我们的维和行动提供了支持。我们对此也深表赞赏。
With all these activities, China proves itself as a friend of South Africa and Africa.
通过这一系列的举动，中国向世界展示了中国是南非也是非洲的朋友。
We have nothing to lose but to deepen this relationship so that we can take both our countries to the high level.
我们必须要进一步的深化这种关系，让我们的关系迈上新的高度。
And then we'll really welcome any questions which are coming from your side.
我们也欢迎各位踊跃提问。
咱们就抓紧从这请大家有感兴趣的问题。
Your Honorable Chairperson, my name is Peng from the Ministry of Commerce. I do appreciate what you have outlined, the history of our two countries' friendly cooperation. To be frank, because I'm not an expert in African affairs, so I think that you have given us a very good teaching lesson. Thank you so much. And I have a question is that, as we know that China is a strategic partner for Africa, and South Africa as well. So as the your honorable members are in the Committee of Foreign Affairs, could you please be so kind to elaborate your next 5 to 10 years strategic goals in terms of South African foreign relations? Thank you.
Can you take it around 5 questions so that you can...
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
那边请。周杰稍等一下。Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's our great honor to meet you and thank you very much also for your very positive remarks on the South African relations. I have one question. Expectations in the future for the cooperation for the two countries internationally in the international
you very much, the Honorable Chairperson. As we all know that currently China and South Africa enjoy the best relation in history, so as China and African relations. We have conducted very good cooperation in areas such as infrastructure, medical, cultural affairs, and even in international affairs. However, some Western countries, they attack China on China's role in peace and security issues in Africa. They claim that China should have done more in hotspot issues such as Mali, in Darfur, in Burundi, and even some African people, they believe that our cooperation in peace and security issues is in deficit. So how do your honorable think of that kind of thought, and how do you evaluate our cooperation in peace and security issues? Thank you.
Thank you. That work? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm Shen from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Department of International Economic Affairs. I have a question regarding the new American president. Unfortunate or fortunate, we have the new American president, Mr. Trump. What's your expectation upon Mr. Trump's election as president? What do you think of his policy approach to Africa? What do you think of the impact of Mr. Trump's election as the American president on the world policy affairs? Thank you.
Well, we all know that China's National People's Congress is the counterpart of the African Parliament. Well, the parliamentary relations are a very important part of the bilateral relations. My first question is, do you have any further plan on strengthening parliamentary exchanges with China's National People's Congress?
And the second is, China is deepening our political reconstructing by promoting self-improvement and development of the political system, including National People's Congress system. We have seen a growing role of the National People's Congress system with the economic development, and we attach great importance to perfecting the system. Well, my second question is, how do you promote the democratic process of your system? Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I think we have more than five questions, né? Because some speakers have latched on about three questions per speaker. But what the way we're going to approach it, I'm going to give the members a chance to respond, and then I close at the end so that I can capture everything which has been left out, né? But before I give our members a chance, another member of this portfolio committee has come in also. Is that Dr. Kota? Will you please introduce yourself, Bob?
I thought that you'd do that for me,
No.
Good morning, my dear friends. My name is Musiu Welekota. I'm a member of parliament. I'm the parliamentary leader of the Congress of the People. Some years ago, I served as Minister of Defense and spent a lot of time in your country with General. My counterpart was General Hao Jiang. And I also had the privilege of meeting some of your leaders, including in particular Prime Minister at that time, Deputy President, Deputy Prime Minister Hu Jintao. Brilliant and very, very impressive individual, very close friends of our country. I'm privileged to join with you this morning in this meeting. I welcome you. I hope you enjoy your stay with us. Love you.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Kota. We're now going to respond to all. There's the other man from the mountain. It's Honorable Bergman. Bergman is from the opposition party, the big opposition party in parliament. He is representing. Can you introduce yourself, Honorable Bergman?
Chair, thank you very much, and sorry that I'm late. I do apologize, I was caught in another meeting. Thanks very much for having me. I'm from, as the chairman has said, the Democratic Alliance, which is the second largest party, and an MP. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Oh, the members who have just come in, we have already done the necessities of introducing one another and putting why we're meeting together here. That's why we had fielded questions from the side of the delegation, because it is his last day today in South Africa. They'll be moving out. You know? So there are a series of questions which they've asked. Now, but before I go to the issue of questions, there are refreshments outside there. If there's anyone who needs some sort of a refreshment, tea or a drink, you can go and get yourself silently so, without disturbing the meeting, and come back with your stuff, and then I think that's how we'll deal with it. I'll start by saying that on the issue of Donald Trump, the issue is not yet concluded. It's not yet concluded, and since it is not yet concluded, we cannot say who is what, because really we cannot interfere on the political system or the choice of the people of another country. So what we'll do as South Africa, we'll wait for the outcome of the presidential elections. After that, they've got their own mission here, their embassy in South Africa. They'll go, the ambassador or whoever concerned will go and present to the president of the republic that now the new chief of staff, or the new commander-in-chief in America in January is going to be so and so. And then we'll take it from there. We cannot speculate. I think that it will be unfair, as we'll not like other countries also to speculate about ourselves, because we believe that each and every country is sovereign. It must do its things its own way. Although at the party political level, we might have a view, but we cannot utter it now yet. I think that let's leave it at that point. All right. Is there anyone who wants to answer any of these questions? Honorable Maila, indicate which question you are answering.
Thanks, Chair. I would like, there are some questions which are almost interlinked.
Yeah.
But I would like to deal more specifically with the relations between South Africa and China.
Yes.
But I'll approach it at the broader level. That firstly, as South Africa, we have made it clear to the world that we don't want anybody to make us choose who our friends are. We have the right to choose our own friends. Now, we are in this, we have these relations that we call the South-South relations, of which China is part. We hold that very dear because we believe the South-South relations makes a good impact in changing the pecking order of the world and in challenging the traditional way of doing things. This relations has brought us the formation of BRICS. And you know, the development of BRICS, which also led to the New Development Bank, gave us hope that we can be able, you know, South Africa and China share very bad experiences in the past of colonialism. I sometimes share this example with colleagues. There's a film of Bruce Lee, Enter the Dragon, where in a part it's written, Chinese and dogs not allowed. You know what? That in itself reminds us as South Africans where we come from, and we feel that we share a common past
and we should share a common destiny. So what we'd like to see happening is the strengthening of relations between South Africa and China, and obviously not leaving the entire Africa behind, because we believe that China has a very important role to play. I don't want to say many things. I can talk until the sun rises. Thank you very much. But I would like you to assist me. How do I say thank you in Chinese?
Thank you, Honorable Maela. Any other members want to meditate?
Programs, and I think really, you know, I was reading a book says by Clara Antonio, where he said that as a young person, they say that we are a future. We are not a future, but we are the present. I think really you are the present, that you came here in order that you can be able to come and learn some best practices and even to concretize the relationship, especially what our country has done between China and South Africa, and also in the formation of BRICS. I think this is the a move in the right direction. We really applaud you, and I think really our chairperson will be able to take this message forward, that we should be able to have that exchange program of the present leaders. You are the present leaders of the future. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Honorable Rapoti. I'll give Honorable Pumlan.
I'll try and answer some of them. The one is the attack on China, which I think the question was asked. Correct. There is a lot of attack on China, particularly by the Americans and the British. The reason is that China, in its giving a hand to particularly to Latin America and to Africa, it doesn't have much strings attached. For example, when we talk about the BRICS Bank, when you talk about IMF and World Bank, for example, and you compare, you find that there has to be some strings. You must do A, B, C, and D before you get a loan. And you must always be indebted to them for a long time. Now, so the BRICS Bank, which has been backed by China, is having no strings attached. In other words, you don't have to do what the World Bank and the IMF are saying. That's one. The second thing is that the big threat is that the BRICS countries constitute more than two-thirds of the population in the world, which is a very big threat. Actually, in America, they say the BRICS Bank is called it's a war on the dollar. So that's the position. Now the question is, what do we do? You must expect to immediately you do something. If you meet 10 people, this you can be sure of only two that can be your friends. You must expect the other eight to be your enemies. However, the good thing that they have done is to come clean, to say, this here we are, and this is who we are, and you either take us or you don't. Now, I want to encourage the Chinese people to keep on the good work and keep on the assistance and as well as the friendship that they give to other people in the world. Though the chairperson says must not touch about the Trump, is almost a foregone conclusion that we're going to have a Trump president, unfortunately. This is unfortunate. I want to say again, it is unfortunate. I don't want to... no, it's true. It's unfortunate. Because with the Republicans, their economy is mainly based on arms, and there must be war so that the people who are making arms are able to get some profit. And secondly, after destroying a country in the war, they send their people to go and build the country. So that is the problem we are likely to have, and that's a fact. With the Trump, but I'm not saying he says that he's going to withdraw all the troops from the outside, around the world, which is a very good thing and an encouraging thing, because they've got American troops right around the world. Maybe if we believe in that, then that's very, very good. It's welcome. I think we have touched on the question of the future cooperation. Did we touch that? Well, you are going to touch the strategic plan.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Mpumlwana. The members of the PC have just arrived. You were a little bit late because they had fielded questions on the site. You know? So I think that we gave them the first five, and then we're going to allow them to ask any further questions if they have. You know? But the question which I'm going to latch on is the one which is dealing with the National People's Congress, which is our equivalent to our parliament here in the Republic of South Africa. How do we defend democracy? As we are seated here in this table, we've got the members of the African National Congress, which is the majority party in parliament. 62% of the voters voted for the ANC. And then on the extreme left there on my side, where Honorable Brahman is saying, he's coming from the DA, Democratic Alliance. I think they got about 20-odd%. How much?
Yeah,
20-odd%.
Yeah.
And then we have the Congress of the People. These are opposition parties. But what is critical about them is that they have a say as much as we do. Just like the lady from the Economic Freedom Fighters who was there. She went out now to another meeting. That's the forum of the chief whips of parliament. Each and every party has got its chief whip. So the chief whips forum is the one which basically manages the program of parliament, together on what is going to happen in parliament, how we're going to approach the issues. So there's broad participation. But apart from that, at the parliamentary level, we also have what we call the public participation process. Whenever we have a bill or an act of parliament which must pass, it must go through the public participation process, whereby we invite the affected stakeholders to come and make an input on that bill, on how it affects them. Take for example, if we're going to make a bill around the issue of water in a particular area, just like KZN, it means that those municipalities which are going to be affected by that project must come and make presentations in parliament here, so that whenever we take a decision or a policy position, it must take their views into consideration. But what is also very important is that, as we said, that the type of parliamentary system we are having is the PR system, whereby we don't elect individual people, we elect the parties. So each and every party comes with its list, for example, the African National Congress will come with a list of 200 or from on the national national list, and then the provinces themselves will also donate certain members of parliament. Take for myself, I'm from the Free State. I came with a list of the Free State into the National Assembly. Tatel Kota there is the president of COP. He came with a national to national list of COP. So there's a dynamic mixture of how the people are represented in this parliament. And I think it's working. That's why we support it so much. But what is also very, very important is that the support which is given to the members, it goes across the political lines, party political lines. Take for example, on the issue of the IT, there is a standard type of equipment which is given for everyone, every member. Take for example, the iPad, the small computer, the phone, whatever it might be. It comes as a package so that that person is going to be able to execute his or her own job. That's how we make the parliament accessible. But also we have a website of parliament where the ordinary community can make a follow-up what is happening inside parliament. We're also having a Twitter account of parliament whereby the parliament actually advises the people that on this week in the program of parliament we'll be discussing 1, 2, 3, 4. And then what is very important is that all our meetings are open to the public. So that anyone from anywhere can come and apply to come and sit here and observe our meetings. So that whatever we discuss, they are able to take out wherever they are. So that if they are affected, they can be able to petition parliament that on that decision you took on that day, we as the business people or we as the farmers or as a union, we've got a problem around this. And then we have to engage them. That's part of the portfolio committee's doing. When coming to the issue of international relations, that's why you were giving to us, because we deal with external, with international, other countries. We've got a lot. Last week, we had a delegation from Indonesia. We sat for the whole day with them, taking the issues, but further, another portfolio committee, like the portfolio committee of trading industry, will go and deal with the companies which are investing in the country. So we have this dynamic relationship with the public, which is very important. And also, I really appreciate it. And then, how are you going to, the other question around the issue of the national, how are you going to enhance the relationship between these parliaments? Regularly, I can make an example. In 2010, myself, I was part of the delegation of the Speaker of Parliament when we went to China. The Chairman Wu was still the chairperson of the People's National Congress. We had a very fantastic experience. We had a lot of exchanges. So regularly, I can rest assured, not 2 years can pass without a delegation of parliament going to China. It's not possible. So we have that those regular contacts, which we are also going to encourage that they must be deepened. Even myself, I'm part of the Friends of China group. We'll be receiving people from China next week here in Cape Town. We'll be receiving them, making that dynamic contact so that we strengthen the relationship between the two countries. On the issues of what are the priorities, in the particular on the issues of focus, the priorities which we are having as South Africa, we know that we're from apartheid, we've got unequal society. The first thing which our priority number one is the issue of education. That's why we appreciate that China is supporting South Africa in extending scholarships for our students. There are a lot of our students who are in China, who are studying engineering, who are in the agricultural field, the ICT field. There are a lot of them who are in China. That's why we appreciate that, because we believe that through education, through proper skills, is then that the nation can grow. It can grow. But on the issue of the African continent, the African Union has got the Agenda 2063, the Africa we want. We really appreciate China to support that program. We know very well that Africa is one of the richest continents in the world, but it's got the poorest people in the world, because the colonial masters tended to extract only the minerals and the best take it out of Africa. So with Agenda 2063, we're emphasizing the economic development of Africa. We want to interact China as a partner, not as a colonialist, as a partner. So what do we mean by that? Take for example, if we've got a Transnet which is going to need certain locomotives, we can, when we order those locomotives from China, what must happen? Let's say South China Rail Company, we order from that company. That company must produce some of those locomotives inside the country here, and it must produce those locomotives inside the country here, and then exchange the skills and expertise with our youth here, so that at the end of the day they are able to run with those programs. And then where we also need the cooperation is in the international fora, like the United Nations, the World Trade Organization. Really, I think that we must be able to move in unison, as we did with the migration of Millennium Development Goals to Sustainable Development Goals. Those are the corporations which we need from the side of China as a friend who has worked with South Africa for so many years. I think that we've covered. If there's any question which is still outstanding, I think we'll cover that. But if there's anyone who wants to ask a question, can do that. I don't know how much time do we have. It's gone now. Past 11. All right. So at least we still have time. All right. We have another member who's just entered in. Honorable Mwango. He's from the IFP, the opposition party. It's another opposition party from the IFP. As I said, yeah, South Africa is a multi-party democracy, whereby we don't have a single party. We have the man. Anyone can form a political organization and join and do that. And then that, so yes, so that is the member of this committee. Are there any other questions which you would like to raise on your side? Yes.
Okay. Good morning,
Your Honor, Chair.
Thank for all of you giving us an opportunity to communicate with each other. I am Mei Yang from the Department of Boundary and Ocean Affairs in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of China. So, 5 days ago, November 4th, I arrived in South Africa from Ethiopia by airplane. It's the first time that I reached the South Africa. My first reaction is that something was wrong. The captain of the airplane maybe pilot the plane to the totally different direction, maybe from the Ethiopia to the north direction. Because what I saw in the Johannesburg was absolutely the same as what I have seen in the Germany, Europe. So, I have to say it is a magic, fantastic country, okay? My question is about my business, boundary and ocean affairs. Boundary, I think the prosperity and economic development need a peaceful neighboring environment. The boundary or border issues between the two neighboring countries is very important. So my question is, have two. The first question is about the history or a story of the African continent. Because when I just see a map of African continent, many boundary or border line are straight. I have some confused about the straight line of the boundary. So maybe you can just introduce something about this one. Second question is about the South African boundary. Okay, have you solved the border issues with your or neighboring country? The border is just solved. Okay, it's just clear for your country. How to manage the boundary? Because China has 14 land bordering country. We have two country, India and Britain. We don't have agreement with the country. We don't have agreement about the boundary. So I just want to know about something. Sorry about the Africa, South Africa.
Okay.
Okay?
South Africa and Angola. Now,
Namibia was colonized as a German colony. And the Germans who had colonies there and also had colonies in East Africa tried to avoid the English, and they tried to expand German West Africa to link up with German East Africa. Then the British through Rhodes cut in and had Southern Rhodesia, what you call Zimbabwe today was Southern Rhodesia. And then they realized that, but the Germans can go that way. Then they had Northern Rhodesia, which you call Zambia today, to block the Germans from going through that way. So all of that happened. So I think we can do that also with the other parts of Africa. You can see those kind of things. Now, in some of these cases, as you take South Africa, for instance, now, when the Union of South Africa was formed, all the tribal formations were put into the, were in the Union and all of that, in order to avoid fresh conflict afterwards. The Organization of African Unity, the earlier organization, the forebear of the African Union, decided that in order to sustain peace, we must just accept the colonial boundaries as they are. So you'll find some of the people who are of one tribe in one other country and the other in this one and so on, because you can unleash lots of conflict if you can try arbitrarily just to change that and so on. So we've come, those, you have to understand that against that backdrop and so on. Now I should also just mention, by the way, that because the English had colonized China, South China, much earlier on, South Africa's mining, gold mining, was founded on Chinese labor. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Many of the Chinese indentured laborers were brought here because Africans were refusing to go into the mines. We were not familiar with mining. And there were, our people refused to go in. But because mining had already been so advanced in China, it was easy to bring the Chinese, who are familiar with working underground and so on, to come here and then stay there. But then later, around the end of the 19th century, they were, of course, repatriated and so on. I don't want to go into that very long. Chairperson, I was very keen to comment on what I think is a really important issue for young people at home and abroad to appreciate that the biggest objective of international relations is the issue of world peace. World peace is very important. And relations between South Africa and any country, but principally, a country like yourselves, with whom we share close ties, must commit all the time, must understand all the time that relations between us must be grounded on the cornerstone of striving for world peace. There can be no future for the humankind unless the majority of the nations of the world commit to world peace. So we treasure relations between yourselves. And you know why China is one of the members of the United Nations Security Council. The Second World War was the biggest war humankind had experienced.
Sorry, Honorable Kota, we have to finish by 11:30. So we have to give other members a space to also pray. Can continue.
Yeah. So maybe I've made the point about this question of world peace. Now, so we need world peace, but how do we, what is the most reliable foundation for world peace is development. It is education. It is training. not for some excluding others. Our relations with yourselves and other nations of the world must target development, education, upliftment of the standards of life of the people, because it is when human beings are satisfied, are looked after, that they can be appeased. But unfortunately, the world will continue to have contradictions, because contradiction is at the heart of progress. Any movement to take things forward will always, but contradictions must be managed such that they don't destroy us, the human race. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kota. Honorable Kenya, I think this for you. Honorable Kenya, or is there any other member who wants to speak in? Honorable Bachman, after Honorable Kenya, next. It will be Bachman, and then Honorable Mwango, and then we come back to Honorable Lafuti and when you talk about this issue, so that it can be able
president to control, because this guy is to take a and said that we are also belong to the AU and that it is also to the United Nations. So therefore we are supposed to take care of our refugees and the Afghan people. And we know that in Africa we have a problem also of civil war. So that is also makes our brothers to be so poor, because these people are being fleeing from one country to another country if they get caught for problems. Also on the issue of soccer, I think we hosted the summit last year in October. There, some of them being cautious, noting that we really are trying to strengthen this relationship, as we have a program of 5 to 10 years on development in China, captured in Beijing, the Beijing Declaration last year. I think during the visit of the diplomatic diplomacy, and we had our security issue lead there also in South Africa. That, to my understanding, we are also, it's a package for us in our relationship for strengthening, to look at our priorities, which are also similar to those of other countries. As we know, your history has already reminded that Taylor. I think also,
all right. Thank you, Honorable Kenya. Honorable Bachman, followed by Honorable Mwangu, and come back to Honorable Rafuti.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be brief and broad because I unfortunately missed most of the good questions, I'm sure. But this is one time that I think the Chairman and I can be in full agreement on something that I say. But South Africa's relationship with China is very strong. And I often find myself at loggerheads over the support that the committee gives to China, saying that we should be more spread out in love and support. But that China is giving a lot to our continent and to our country. And the question I often ask my committee is, I wonder what's in it in return. You know, I wonder what China would want in return for the generosity that they show. I know that our department very cleverly backs China, and as the chairman says, that to be probably, if not the strongest economy in the next few years, the second strongest by far. And I'm willing to admit it and concede it. But now, in terms of the bilateral trade, you know, I would like to see some form of an increase in the bilateral trade. You know, that we're getting some knowledge and education, and not necessarily just products, and that the relationship, you know, more hands-on relationship. But the interesting note that my counterpart chair mentioned was on the disparity, is the inequalities that exist in this country. And if you take that we're only 21 years into our new democracy, there's a lot that still we have to catch up on. But what we're finding, and it's called the Gini coefficient, you're finding that the poor, there's a huge middle, but there's a distance between the wealthy and the distance between the poor, and that distance tends to widen. So for me, and when you look at the boundaries and you look at the cities seem to be developing, but more and more people from the rural areas are influxing into the cities, and I think this is where China does something very well. China manages to build cities and towns in different cities and different spheres of influence. It's not like other countries that have one city that everyone flocks to. You've got strong cities throughout China that so you have different spheres of influence, and I just thought I would say that. Thank you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman and the committee, and good morning to our counterparts from China. Welcome to South Africa. Mr. Chairman, you will actually pardon me for actually speaking out of turn in some instances. It's because I actually started with another meeting of the police in another building. I also do want to echo the sentiments expressed by the predecessor and my colleagues who have spoken before me, in that we really appreciate very much the cordial relationship that actually has been built between this country and China, and also the exchange programs that exist, in terms of which we have our own young people who are actually studying in China, and we are hoping that we would also have young Chinese students coming over to South Africa to actually learn from us, because it would appear that China has a very good and ambitious policy on Africa. So it would be good for you guys also to learn one of the African languages, you know, to be able to communicate with African people, because otherwise then you are going to be suspected of wanting also to actually do what our colonizers did before. They imposed their languages over us, and never mind, you know, they didn't want to bother about learning our own language. So I think that's one area that you guys would want to do. But all I want to say is to actually appreciate the kind of relationship that one sees happening between the two countries. Well, without wanting to delve in your internal affairs as Chinese, I mean, but out of interest, one would just like to ask you about the issue of the Tibet. Because we read a lot about that, we hear a lot about it, in the sense that the Tibetan people actually want some kind of self-determination. I wonder if anyone could actually dare to comment on that one, to educate us on that one, because we hear a lot about it. But on the whole, I just want to, and also the issue about your South China Sea islands. I think that there are some tensions around there with other countries. In fact, I'm asking that in the context of your question asking us about boundaries and things like this. Does it also affect you? Because I don't see Chinese boundaries being straight, especially around the issue of the islands. Why do we have that tension around there? Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Mwango and the questioners. What I'd like to remind the members of the EC is that these are the young diplomats. The young diplomats are not the MPs, they are not the members of the People's National Congress of China. So but the refresh.
All right,
without further ado, I'd really also like to welcome Honorable Dudley. She's also the member of the African Christian Democratic Party, ACDP. She's also from the opposition. But what is critical, as you said, that we all participate as a group, in this thing. Honorable Raputi and Honorable Mulan, so that the radio must be, so yeah. We're starting to wind down now because we've got about 15 minutes to go.
Young diplomats of China, you know, I had a chance that I visited China, but through the African National Congress, not through Parliament. And what really I have observed there, I've seen in some cooperatives where buildings were built by cooperatives. And I'm just asking myself that as young diplomats and also promoting, you know, exchange programs, will you be able to encourage young people to form cooperatives? And on the issue, because the young diplomats, they said that he saw just a straight line from Ethiopia to South Africa. we as South Africans, especially the, from the African National Congress, we resolved that the borders of South Africa must be secured, because it is very important and vital also for the movement of goods, illicit drug trafficking and all those things. So we have now on the process of implementing a bill that they call it border management. We are going to bring that border management authority, which is going to assist on issue of security. And because I heard that they got, I was talking about peace and all, because I think that if people are more secured in their country, we will be able to have more peace and less conflict. I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kumran. Thanks a lot. I see that our schedule now is almost tightening up. Now we are approaching towards the end of this. Now. But hey, Manzala, please. All right. There are certain questions which were raised by the members here. They were very specific. Né? How to increase trade between South Africa and China? Né? What is the cash? China is generous, né? In developing Africa. We know that more than 200 billion rands of China is in Africa invested. Né? A lot of money invested in South Africa. So what's the cash? You know, in the other colonial powers, né? It was only the cash. Né? You do that, you are going to learn my language and do everything. Né? But what is very important, because you are the young diplomats, né, I think that you must learn from experience, from the fire. You must face the fire. Né. You can answer any question if you think that you'll be able to answer. And then, but if you cannot, it's fine too. Né. Thank you.
As one of your honorable members have just mentioned the issue of Tibet, I may not be in a very good position to answer that politically or something like that, but I think I might own the right position to tell some facts, because I myself have been to Tibet. I have some chilly experience here, and I think I might have the right to tell everybody what did I see there. First of all, I'd like to start with where did you get your information of Tibet? Maybe, I don't know how many of you have been there, but maybe most of you have got your information from media. And which kind of media? Western media. And from whom? Maybe from Dalai himself, or maybe from the other reporters or writers who is a supporter of Dalai. Maybe, I just say maybe. Everyone has their own positions and perspective. I would like to provide my perspective. As I've been to Tibet, I was shocked. Shocked by their living standards right now. Shocked by their development, cities development, rural areas development, Chinese government have done a lot to improve every citizen of China's living standards, including the Tibet. If we talk about their culture and language, I've been their primary schools. They have two languages. They could learn their own languages, and they also being provided with the Chinese language, the Mandarin languages. If you would like to study too, that's okay. If you would only like to study your own language, the Tibet language, that would be also be okay. Learning Mandarin actually gives there a better way to maybe better universities in the other part of China and to get better education. So most of the Tibet students, they would like to have them both. It's their choice. So actually their language has been very good protected. And so as to their culture, language is actually also a very good way to know a culture. They have their language, they of course have their culture as well. I also have been experienced some with the local people to celebrate their own festivals, to celebrate their own festivals. It's very very different from my nation, but it's very interesting. I see them all. That means their festivals, their cultures has been also very good protected. So as to their way of living, many Western media would like to say, okay, those local people have used to live in their own house, their own kind of house. They don't get used to living in modern buildings. But I would like to ask, who would like to live in a very bad house which would be raining when it's outside also raining, rather than living in a modern building with electricity, with cleaning water? Everyone has their right to enjoy a better life and has a right to develop. We just provide them with this right, and I don't think it's wrong. So I just provide you the perspective of my own, which I have saw the living. That's all.
Thank you. That was a really, really young diplomat. All right. I think on the issue of Tibet, if there's someone, please. I think that you've got a good explanation.
I'm sorry, because I'm a French speaker, so I need my colleague to interrupt. 是这样，我对西藏呢，我曾经在法国常住过。西藏问题也是法国人非常关注的一个问题，然后刚刚我的同事从他的直接的感受介绍了一点情况，所以我想补充一点历史上的一些情况。
Hello, I'm from the Department of African Affairs from the Foreign Ministry, and just now my colleagues talk about, because I speak French, so I need to use my interpreter. I've been posted to French, to France in the past, and this question is also what French would like to know. They are very interested in that. My colleagues talked about it from some of her own experience. What I would like to talk about from a historical perspective.
事实上，那个西藏这片土地在十世纪之前的时候就已经跟这个怎么说，跟中国当时的这个中国的王朝有了往来。然后呢，随着这个历史的发展，在十八世纪的时候，西藏事实上已经形成了对这个中央政府的依附关系。那么最明确的一个就是证据，就是当时西藏的这个统治西藏的两大活佛，他们是需要中央政府认证的，就是他们的 正统性、传统性，他们统治这个地区的权力是由当时的这个清朝政府来认证的，没有这个清朝政府的认证，这两个活佛就是非法的，是没有权利来统治这片土地的。
Actually, as early as in the 10th century, Tibet had already been attached, and there are lots of exchanges between Tibet and the dynasties of the central kingdom. And actually, in the 18th century, Tibetan rulers are already subject to the central kingdom. And a very convincing example is that the two living Buddhas, namely Dalai and Panchen, who are in charge of Tibet,They cannot, they will be illegal if they are not authorized by the central government, the Qin dynasty actually, and their authority and their ruling power comes from the authorization from the Qin dynasty.
然后在19世纪开始，然后英国想要侵入西藏这片土地，他们想了非常多的办法，包括就是说通过各种压迫或者是诱骗的办法，试图让这个西藏政府自治，但是这所有的这些自治的企图，包括要通过条约来明确的一些西藏的自治权利，都必须要有这个当时的清朝政府以及后来的这个国民政府的签字，没有这个中央政府的签字，西藏政府自己签字的这些条约都是不可以生效的。
Since the 19th century, the British government are trying to occupy the land of Tibet. They're using all kinds of ways such as oppression and cheating. They're trying to ask the Tibetan authority to have to be autonomous. In that way, it is easier for them to occupy this land. But actually, they are using all kinds of ways such as fake treaties and so on. But all these treaties and conventions cannot be effective without the signature of the Qin dynasty or later the government of the Republic of China.
当然后来所有的中国政府都没有在这些问题上签字，但是英国包括其他一些国家想要造成一种西藏不属于中国的这样一种印象，所以他们会宣传一些事实上没有经过中国政府甚至西藏政府本身也不认可的条约，就形成了所谓西藏好像不属于中国这样一个印象。
All successive Chinese governments didn't sign on these kind of treaties or documentsBut the British government and also some other countries are trying to create an illusion that Tibet is not part of China. And they are trying to doing some propaganda about some of the treaties. But these treaties are not signed by the Chinese government. They are even not recognized by the Tibetan authority.
另外呢，就是最近的就是有中国中央政府来出席的几次这个坐床典礼，我们现在的这个班禅喇嘛他的坐床是当时我们的全国人大的这个委员长李铁映出席的，应该是在上世纪的90年代。然后另外在这位班禅之前的十世班禅，那么他的坐床应该是在20世纪30年代，是由当时的这个国民政府派了一位高级代表然后出席的，只有在坐床成立之后，他们的在西藏的权威才可以得到确认。
Another very good example is that the central government of China always send representatives to the enthronement of the living Buddha Panchen. Actually in the 1990s a member of the MPC Mr. Li Tieying attendedthe enthronement of the 11th Panchen Lama, and in the 1930s, the representatives from the Republic of China attended the enthronement of the 10th Panchen Lama, and that means the central government Living Buddha cannot be effective without the attendance of delegations from the central government.
我最后想补充一点，就是刚刚我那个同事说的关于媒体的问题。其实我觉得我们对于这个现在不管是中国还是非洲，可能对于彼此的认识很多程度上都是通过 怎么说啊？我说的直接一点，就是西方媒体这一个媒介来认识。那么之前我们在跟那个，咱们是跟南非外交部。之前我们跟那个南非外交部交流的时候，当时的那位司长他就说中国人总是觉得这个南非是一个治安非常差的地方，其实这并不是事实，很多东西都是被媒体夸大了。那么相应的，我觉得可能我们的非洲朋友对一些问题的认识可能也受到了媒体的误导，一些媒体的扭曲或者是夸张。我觉得在一些特别敏感的问题上，除了这个通过媒体来了解情况，可能也需要多看一些相应的书籍，自己做一些探讨。因为媒体很多时候它有自己的利益，它有自己的立场，它有自己的政治正确性。
And I would add to add something about media.Actually, sometimes the Chinese and also the African people, they understand each other through the coverage of media. For example, during our discussion with the Department of International Relations and Cooperation of South Africa, one of the DJ of South Africa said that people in China have a biased impression about South Africa, believing that this is a place that is unsafe.But actually, this is an illusion that was hyped by the media, and the fact is not true, and the fact is not that like that. And sometimes I think maybe Africans are also misguided by the distortion of the media, by the biased coverage of the Western media. So I think apart from getting information from the media, it's also important to read books yourself and do some self-study so that you won't be misguided by the biased media who have to be politically correct in their own country.
Thank you for the wonderful exposé you have just given us. How many are still interested?
Okay. Thank you for just hearing about the South China Sea. It's a long story. Maybe I just talk maybe 3 days and nights. Okay, just cannot just.Introduce the whole comprehensive the history about this question. Okay, but shortly, thousands of years ago, China has found the South China Sea islands and named it. China has the sovereignty of the South China Sea islands. The arbitration, the Philippines has proposed this arbitration, but I think that's a farce about this sovereignty problem, because it is the issue, the key point of this issue is that Philippines has illegally occupied the South China Sea islands.So China and Philippines has an agreement about through the negotiation to fix this problem. As we know, the Philippines new president, has come to China and have an agreement with our president about the South China Sea, we think the bilateral negotiation is the best way to solve this problem. So that's all.
Thank you.
I'd like to add just some comments. This is my third time to visit to Africa. I have already been Kenya, Madagascar, Mali, Botswana, and this time Ethiopia and South Africa. I have to say, every time I'm impressed by the diversity and the creativity of your country and your people. And this time, the country of South Africa impressed me most. And to make echo to your question raised about why Chinese people is so willing to help African people, we are so distant geographically, and China still have a large population in poverty. So why are we doing? And I think that this is our support and our aid have always been reciprocal. It's never a unilateral gift, because China and African people are supporting each other. And as you see, the Chinese China is developing very fast. So we are more dependent on international market and also international energy and resources. So we have to combine our own development with the development of Africa and also other continents. So this is in the same goal, and this is also the best way to develop ourselves. As you see, you can see that when we are helping African people, we are actually have a larger and a broader space to Chinese and African cooperation, which is of course in favor of both of us. So we can say in one word that helping Africa is helping China ourselves. And I'm sure that with hand in hand all together with Chinese young people and African people, we can build up a brighter future.
As for the trade issues, I would like to answer some of the questions proposed by your honorable. My name is Peng from the Ministry of Commerce. And according to the Chinese customs statistics, in the first 10 months this year, China exported to South Africa increased about 1.5%. And the import from South Africa to the export from South Africa to China has increased about 2.5%. Although the increased number is not that big, but if we take into the big context, the global commodity price has decreased a lot. And the WTO, the World Trade Organization, issued the forecast for this whole year. The global trade might decrease about 4 to 5%. So our bilateral trade has enjoyed quite significant growth. And in the meantime, over the past few days, when we visited Johannesburg, the Cape Town city, we found that in the service sector, actually South Africa has attracted so many Chinese tourists here. They enjoy their stay, you know, they pay the hotel, they buy the five roses tea, you know, your wine, and excellent, you know, commodities from South Africa. So I believe that there's still many areas to be tapped. And by the way, that if your honorable members in your own election district, you want to export more to China, I have two suggestions. One is that you can contact the economic and the commercial offices of Chinese embassies and consul general in South Africa. We have about more than 20 people working, you know, in embassies, in embassy and consul general. They are very keen to help you. And secondly, we are also encouraging the South African businessmen to go to China, for example, to attend the Katong Fair. It's the abbreviation for China Import and Export Fair, which has been held for more than 120 sessions. It's the biggest scale and most prestigious Chinese trade fair. I'm sure that with your abundance, you know, diversified commodities, and Chinese people know more about the South African, you know, daily used commodities, there will be more business opportunities, more jobs here. And lastly, yesterday we visited a Chinese company here near the Atlantis Industrial Park. The company is called Hisense. It's the number one Chinese TV set and fridge producer in China. And now the employee, the direct employment is about 700. And the indirect employment here in South Africa is 1,000. And this is just the beginning, and I'm confident, you know, because I work in the Ministry of Commerce, you know, we will enjoy a better prospect of our bilateral trade investment and service sector. Thank you.
不好意思，我再多说两句啊。是这样， 刚才我的同事从这个就是说现实操作中说了很多，我可能从这个历史和文人的角度说两句。就是中国的传统价值观里头有一个非常重要的这个话叫穷则独善其身，达则兼济天下，就是说在自己力所能及的范围内，然后让更多的人能够过得更好，这是一种非常被推崇的价值，不论是古代还是现在。
And please allow me to add something. I would like to talk about it from a cultural perspective. Actually, the traditional Chinese culture makes us believe that when in poverty, we should try to help ourselves to be better, while when we are living a better life, we should try to help others. And it is a traditional value of the Chinese to help other people.
另外就是刚刚很 sorry.刚刚有一位那个议员先生好像是在国防部工作过的，他提及说这个中国和这个非洲国家包括南非都有过被殖民的历史，这一点非常重要。为什么我们更能够理解非洲朋友的这种发展需求？因为我们曾经有过共同的历史，中国就是也是从特别穷发展过来的，其实我们特别能够理解说非洲朋友这种在比较怎么说，就是说渴望发展、实现发展、改善民生的这种诉求。而且因为我们也是从特别穷发展过来的，我们也特别知道说非洲朋友最需要什么样的帮助，这是为什么说中国特别愿意来支持我们的这个非洲朋友来实现发展、改善民生，来加强我们发展中国家的力量。通过这种南南合作、穷朋友之间的相互支持，让这个世界更加和平、和谐、美好。
I would like to add something about the question raised by you've been working in the Ministry of Defense. And I agree with you. I can't agree more with you about the fact that we both have a common history of being colonized. So we share a common past. That's very important. That is why we understand.The need of African people because we share the common past. And the Chinese, we were also poor in the past, and we developed ourselves so that we can be at today's position. So we fully understand the need of African people for development and for a better life. Because of the common past, we share a common destiny in the future. That is why we would like to support the efforts of African countries for development.For a better life of the people and for a better world. And I think through this kind of South-South cooperation and through mutual support, we can finally create a better world of peace, harmony, and solidarity. Thank you.
All right, I see that the mic is on the go slow here, but I use my rally voice then. Now we are about to close the meeting. I'll just defer to the leader of the delegation to make a few remarks before I close the meeting officially.
Thank you. 也回答了问题，并且呢也提出了问题，我想双方的交流非常坦诚，也非常友好。
So thank you, your honorable, thank you for your time and for your briefing. Just now we had a very good discussion. You raised your questions and you also answered our questions. I think our discussion is frank and friendly.
刚才主席先生说了，青年人代表着国家的未来，我们非常赞同。我们中国有句话，就是青年是祖国的民族希望和国家的未来。
I can't agree more with you, acting chairperson, because you said that the youth is the future of the country. That's true, and we Chinese also believe that the youth is the future of the country, and they hold the promising prospect of the nation.
中非和中南有着传统的友好合作关系。
There are traditional friendship and cooperation between China and African countries, especially between China and South Africa.
中方呢也非常愿意在这传统的在这个基础上吧，进一步发展这种合作友好，而且把这种合作友好转换成对双方人民能够得到实实在在好处的一种
And China is more than ready to work with you to build on this kind of traditional friendship and cooperation so that more people can benefit from this kind of traditional friendship and cooperation.
这就是我们为什么要加强人们交流，特别是青年之间的交流。为什么要派一个中国的青年外交官来到非洲，来到南非来访问？我们是想通过这种方式，让青年中国青年更多的了解非洲，了解中非的合作，而且能够在此基础上把非洲中非合作不断的、实实在在友好下去。
That is why we attach great importance to people-to-people exchanges, and that's why we send a delegation of young Chinese diplomats to Africa and to South Africa, because we want to encourage more people to have a better understanding of African countries and our cooperation, and to ensure that this kind of cooperation can carry on from generation to generation.
我觉得有些议员先生提出的问题，对有些问题可能不太希望进一步了解有关问题，我觉得这是很自然的，我们很理解。我们也希望呢，不知道我刚才的年轻外交官的解答是不知道你们这个对问题的了解，我们也希望呢有机会呢欢迎你们多到中国去实地的去看看。
Just now some of the MPs raised the questions that you are interested. I think it's natural and we fully understand. And I hope that the answer of my colleagues can answer your question. And we are also very happy to welcome you to visit China yourself and to see the facts yourself.
我们不想说中国在中国，虽然刚才朋友们
Despite the great achievements that China has scored in the past, we cannot say that China is perfect in all areas, and no country is perfect in all areas.
这就是，但是呢，中国改革开放30年来取得的成绩是。
But over the past 30 years of reform and opening up, the achievement that China has made is recognized by all countries in the world, and it is indisputable.
所以呢，我们愿意和世界上各个国家，特别是友好的国家，像台湾、南非等友好国家，加强合作，不断的加强合作，合作共赢。
So we are more than ready to work with all countries, especially friendly countries such as South Africa, to advance cooperation for win-win results.
作为一个年纪稍长的外交官，我今天为我们的年轻的外交官感到非常的骄傲和自豪。我也相信，在今后中国的外交和中国的外交关系，在这个年轻人的他们的手上，我们感到非常的。 而我也坚信中非中南之间的合作，会通过他们，通过我们以及他们之的努力，会越来越好，前景越来越光明。谢谢各位，谢谢。
As a senior diplomat, I'm very proud of my young colleagues, and I believe that our diplomatic relations will be in good hands in the future because it's in the hands of these young promising diplomats. And I believe that the cooperation between China and South Africa will continue to grow and will have an even better prospect with the exchanges and cooperation between us and also between the young people. Thank you.
All right, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee of International Relations and Cooperation, we as the Portfolio Committee really appreciate the visit here in our country. And then what we always say is that, you know, we always say that the history determines the future. If you don't know where you come from, you don't know why you are here and where you are going to. That's why when we compare the struggles between the people of China and the people of South Africa, they are very similar. When I look at Chairman Mao, a fierce fighter and a guerrilla fighter and a soldier, he reminds us of the late president of the ANC, O.R. Tambo, the one who was leading the armed struggle in a very noble way, who was always principled and was able to take South Africa where it was. But we didn't only learn only from Chairman Mao, we also learned from the first premier of China, Zhou Enlai, when he spoke about the five principles of peaceful coexistence, which found their way in the Bandung Conference, where they were adopted. I think that those are the historic things we should share between the people of China and South Africa, whereby also the African National Congress was represented in Bandung, through Moses Kotane and Congress Kachadia. So, but apart from that, we also had the outstanding leadership like Deng Xiaoping, the one who came with the economic reforms. If you go around the country now, you find that there are special economic zones. Those special economic zones are modeled out of the model which Deng Xiaoping provided. So we can see that our history is interlocking in a deep way. But what is also very important, the issue of the three represents by Jiang Zemin. Really, I think that if you have those philosophical foundations and what the African National Congress is standing for, you can see that we can solve the world problems through cooperation and working together. But what is very critical here is that we as the South African Parliament really appreciate that, as we have seen here, as I said, that there are opposition parties. There's no single party in South Africa. But the policy, the foreign affairs policy, is determined by the president of the country. That's why he's the face. Whatever opinion I might have as an individual, but at the end of the day, the policy of the country is determined by the president of the country. That's why when I said that in 1998, President Mandela came with the policy of a single China policy, it is still the current policy of this country. That's what we're going to respect. What is also very important is the issue of non-interference on other countries. Really, that one is also our principal position. That's why South Africa will never go to any country without working together with a regional group like the AU or SADC. So I think that issue of cooperation is very important. But the crux of the matter here is that we're sharing the means to colonize, but what is critical, the most important thing in any country are its people, the human resource. I think whatever we do, we have to do it in such a way that we promote the well-being and the welfare of our own people, so that we give them the opportunity through education, through proper health services, through better technology, so that they can lead a better life. I think China has done a lot. When you go to PE, they've made an investment of more than 4 billion rand. The first auto works of China is there. It's missing. Hisense, as you said, there in Atlantis, it is there. Hisense is one of the TVs, which give a guarantee of 5 years. It's very rare. If you go to other products, they give you a guarantee of 12 months. But those guys, they give you 5. You don't know, 60 months. Besides, this TV has got a problem. In the next 60 months, bring it back. That's the confidence of the technology that's coming out of that. Those are the skills which we must share and the knowledge we must share. But really, it's very unfortunate. We have stayed here for the whole day, but we have other commitments. We have other meetings to go to. Really, we really appreciate you coming in here. Let's hope that it is not for the last time. Really, I'll urge my colleagues here that we have other time. We go before we arrive in 2019. We go to China and visit in the portfolio committee and interact. Because when you speak about Tibet, as I said, that I was there in 2010 in China. When I looked at the program which the central government was directing towards Tibet, it was very massive and very impressive. So that's why that what you're saying here is not something which we learn from the newspapers. Some of them, we experience them, we did our own research. That's why we always respect the sovereign independence. As Zhou Enlai said, that there's no country which must be independent. Independence of any country is sacrosanct. So really, we are highly appreciated. When you go back to China, go back with a rooibos tea. There's a certain tea, for 5 roses. There's also a rooibos. That tree only get it here in South Africa, nowhere else in the world. Take it along, because even when I was on the other side, I brought a lot of tea. Now, if you even go to my house, there's a lot of blocks of tea. Yeah, Chinese tea. So I think those are the things you must exchange, and then we must take the memorials to our people on the other side, so that they must know that we are one. We are just one human race. This is trying to, we're trying to find our space in the world. Thank you. Thank you.
This is a token of association which was the leader of the delegation for bringing the future of China in South Africa, so that when he goes there.